email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Davy's toughest team returns tonight at 9:35 on RT1, and it is Davy Fitzgerald with 7 troubled youths. Is that what it's called? I'm reluctant to use the word troubled, but
they've had different paths. They've had struggles with different parts of life, be it mental health, be it substance abuse or homeless, as a few of them have had. They've encountered different problems, but how many people have had? It's out there.
And they're 18 to 24. And I really enjoyed the first one. And I think a lot of people did, despite the fact that you were heading for base camp on Everest. But because of COVID, you weren't. But this time you get to go to Iceland and climb a volcano.
Yeah, it's pretty out there, I can tell you. Like, I suppose the whole thing evolved around, we've a major challenge at the end, but in order to get there, we've different processes we have to go through. And the different processes probably allowed us to learn more about their character and how we could help them a small bit evolve as the process went on. And that journey, Ray, was very interesting with these guys. And you know what, I looked at some of them, and the potential I see in some of them was absolutely incredible. And they probably doubted themselves, some of the lads did. And I hate seeing them that way, because they had so much potential, and they have.
But how could they not doubt themselves? You know, we're talking about family members who've taken their own lives. A number of the lads have attempted to take their own lives themselves. There's addiction. There's dysfunctional families. A couple of them are from fostering backgrounds. It was an eye-opener for you, I'd say.
Do you know what? I would have thought I had it tough myself at times. I might have got bullied a small bit at school or that, but you know what? It was very little to what some of these guys have gone through. I can remember, I think it was episode 1, we were in the sitting room and we were all having a chat, and Rob, to get his feelings out there, had a rap, and it was incredible. Mm. And then all the rest of the guys opened up. I remember coming out afterwards, and it took me probably 2 or 3 hours to actually come right myself after listening to their stories. You couldn't help but feel emotional having listened to them.
I'm wondering, because I'm sure you've asked yourself this question as well. It's about putting these people on television.
Yeah.
How do you answer yourself?
Yeah, well, what I'm saying to myself in this, right, like, obviously they've seen the first series, that the lads have done this one, and they said to themselves, it must have helped the guys in the first series, and they were prepared to come on and share their story. So they were like, they knew what they were getting involved in. And our thing was to put awareness out there as well. Two things. Could we help the individual that's coming on a small little bit? And I don't claim to be that I'm going to solve all the problems they have. That's definitely not going to happen. But we've a great team around us. And if we can help make their life a bit better, then great. But also a big thing with them was they wanted to create more awareness for people out there that felt that they have no one to turn to, or that are afraid to, like some people were saying, don't feel valued, right? That they don't feel enough that they could say anything. And they wanted to spread that word that, of course, you can talk and get out there.
Yeah. One of the guys was particularly quiet.
Jamie,
yeah. And you said to him, you shared some of your past, because you said you were quiet. You were the guy who was at the back of the class who wouldn't say much.
That's for definite. You wouldn't think it probably looking on
sideline. I said, is he saying this just to get on Jamie's side?
100% I would have been that way. Right. I have a fair idea like what made me a bit different, but I would have been the guy that was definitely the back of the class, and that was even in secondary school, national school, and I just didn't want, all I wanted to do was get out and hurl, right? That was me. I love sport. I love getting out. But when it came to that, I kind of wanted to be anonymous. I didn't want to be asked a question. Mm. I didn't want any hassle. I just wanted to get through the day and get out in the field afterwards. And that's why I could resonate with him, that I remember putting him forward for a challenge he didn't want to do.
As a leader,
yes. And I put him out. He said, I don't want to do it. I said, Jamie, trust me. You can do this. I said, now, come out of your comfort zone and have a go. Ray, he was absolutely incredible. Mm. When he went at it, it was just, he was afraid to have that cut. And when he went at it, and I see the potential in him, Ray, and that's why I wanted him to do it.
So he's a dad now, and he's in his early 20s.
Yeah, he's a dad, and I think they're expecting another child, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
But I just know that this guy has so much potential. Seeing the way he led that way, see the way he thought about it, he could think about it, he cares about people a lot. And I know he helps different groups out a lot as well, so he does.
I remember talking to you after the last one, and you did say it was an eye-opener, and you saw parts of Ireland and heard yeah. stories about people who live in Ireland that shocked you.
Yeah, big time. Like, as I said to you, I probably lived a pretty sheltered
life. Okay, yeah.
I definitely said, but when I see where some of the lads, and even in this one, you will really get to see different parts of Ireland, and sometimes I think we go to sleep and forget about these parts, and we can't.
So you were a young dad as well.
Yeah.
When did you have your first son?
I was about, I think it was 26.
Right.
Yeah.
That's young in this day and age, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's like, it's grand when you get a bit older. You've gone through a lot. When you're in your mid-20s, it's difficult. And especially if you come from the struggles that some of the lads have had, that can be a lot.
Can I talk to you a little bit about fatherhood then? Because you're a father again.
Yeah.
So Dathi Óg will celebrate his first birthday next month, which is nearly, next week is next month, isn't it? Yeah. So how was that year for you?
You know what? It's been great.
It makes you have a huge smile on your face.
Yeah. And that's what he does. Like, and in fairness, like Cullum, my older lad, is absolutely incredible. Dathi Óg the same. It's different for you, right? Did I think, and I, 51, that this is going to be happening to me, I probably didn't, but myself and Sharon, we have Dathi Óg now over nearly a year, and the little lad has a smile on his face every morning when he wakes up, and tis great. And Sharon has done most of the work. There's no point saying I have, but I can't wait to get back in and see him at night even, and he's just brilliant. It's great. It's 100%. Even after the games, she brings him to the games, and the one person I love to see afterwards is the man himself.
You're smitten.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Dathi Óg, because Dathi Óg won't always be Óg.
Yeah.
Will he just become Dathi after a while?
I don't know. Yeah. You know, yeah. The thing I want for him, no matter, and it doesn't have to be hurling, whatever he wants to do, I'm going to give him as much support as I can, and I won't be pushing him. If he wants to hurl, great. If he doesn't, that's fine. Whatever he wants to do.
A bit too young. He hasn't hurled a hurling
stick. He has.
You're right. Okay.
Right. That probably be his mother's fault as well. Like, right. Yeah.
You can get them any size, can't you?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
And is he showing any aptitude?
Yeah, he's hitting the ball anyway, which is right. Great. But as you say, once they're healthy and happy, and I suppose, you know, even going back to the show, that was the thing I found about the lads, is the smiles on their faces at times when they achieve stuff, Ray, was massive. Yeah. That gave me, like, if you ask me in sport, what drives me in sport? It's seeing a team that hasn't won for a while win, and seeing the emotion on people's faces in that county or that club, that absolutely does it for me. And
you saw the lads doing abseiling. It wasn't the backways abseiling, it was the frontways abseiling, which must be very scary. I've never done it. And they were scared. And you could see the joy in your face when they achieved it.
No, they did something they'd never do, and they never thought they could do. Yeah. And what we're kind of saying to them, they've come across different things in life that they get a buzz out of for a small bit. We're saying to them, out in the outdoors, do stuff. There's so much stuff out here you can do and experience.
Yeah, we were talking about something recently. It was actually about nepotism. And, you know, there was a number of articles about that, the number of famous Hollywood actors who have their sons or daughters and that. But they do have privilege, and they do have opportunity that other people wouldn't have. And it got me thinking that there's a lot of untapped potential out there. Isn't there?
I'm telling you now, I could tell you a few of these lads, the potential they have. There was one of the lads actually had his own business very young, right? Kelvin. And it was brilliant. And he was going great. He just got caught in a bad place. But I look at this guy and I know the potential he has in Anthony does in life is incredible for him. So it is.
How do you, like, 'cause there's another phrase that comes up an awful lot in chats about drugs and addiction and disadvantage, and that's breaking the cycle.
Mm.
Because if you're born into a family where there's addiction, it's more likely that you're going to be addicted to something. Yeah. And so the cycle continues. And
it is very hard. Like, you know, I suppose it comes, like, even you take these guys, they wanted, some of them were in tough cycle younger, and they've wanted to try and get out of it. Like, they made the application to get on the show and to try and they were just looking for a way to try and break it. And you will see in the show, it doesn't happen for everybody. Even though, no matter how much you try, it is really tough. But if you have that persistence, Ray, and you have that vision in your head that you want something to try and change, It can.
So you're back at Waterford.
Yep.
So when did you leave Waterford?
2011, right. I left, went to Clare, then on to Wexford and back again.
Yeah. And are the same people involved? They just had your number in their phone, is that it? Or what way did it work?
Listen, it's very few. I think the chairman there last time I was there was Pat Flynn. He's the secretary there now. And we had a chat. I was out for a year. I was involved. Sorry, I had a great year last year with Cork Camogie. Yeah. It was different. And I got a call to know would I be interested. And I had a chat with him. I love it, Ray. I love being involved. I know some people in Clare will probably say, like, why are you going here or there? And I said, you want me to sit at home and do nothing?
Yeah, but you're getting into the car twice a week and travelling all the way from Clare over to Waterford. What's the round trip on that?
You're probably 2 hours, 10 down, 2 hours, 10 back in that direction. But it's fine.
So you've two lads in the car with you?
I do. One of them here with me. He's outside there. Michael Collins, 85. But if you see him, you will say, not 85 years of age.
And what's their function? Keep you awake, is it?
Gaz does all the water and gathers all the clothes for the boys, does everything. James is our goalkeeping coach, right? But Ray, the chats in the car now are absolutely mental.
I was reading, you gave an interview there to the Examiner, I think, and I was reading about the fact that you're nearly 4.5 hours twice a week in the car with these two lads. Mm. Would you put microphones in?
I'd say something would have to be censored for reference, But like even Michael, who's 85, like there is no, if you've seen him the way he operates a training, like he'd be out with the hurley left and right and he's hitting away, and his outlook, and I suppose Michael has had his ups and downs in life the way everyone has had him, but his outlook is fantastic. And I love being around the two of them because they're so positive. Do you know what? They actually make the journey so easy. It's brilliant.
So when was the last time Waterford won in All-Ireland?
1959.
Right.
Yeah. That's the time. So over the next 60, few years,
40, 20, what's that? 62 years ago.
Well, 64.
64 years ago. Sorry, 64 years ago.
Yeah, 64. Jeez. So, that's the plan over the next 2 or 3 years. You're getting a bit of stick already. You're 4 months into it, and they're saying, I don't see any change in them. What's the story? But listen, you'll have to listen to a bit of thunder, I suppose, from different platforms, and you just get on with it.
And the lads in Davy's toughest team, and which. You know, is there cross-pollination, so to speak? Are you learning stuff from them that you bring into the hurling dressing room, or is it the opposite way around? Bit of both.
Probably what I've learned over the last few years, I'm training teams 30 years and it took me a long time to figure out stuff that you kind of have to judge the individual now and you have to accept the person for who they are. I think we're all different characters and I think you have to accept everyone for who they are and maybe try and improve different aspects, say in their game or even be it the lads in one or two bits of their personalities, just one or two small bits, but accept them a lot for who they are and what they're about. Because before I would have said, sure, one glove fits all, they should all be doing this, they should all be doing this. It doesn't work that way. And I think the hurling teams have helped me even understand people a lot more. I think I've got a bit better at it, that you're trying to figure out everyone.
So is it the individual first and then the team?
Then the team, 100%. I think you've got to know what makes everyone tick. And what's good, what's bad, what works from what doesn't, their temperament. And if you can do that, so you'd spend the first few months trying to figure that out of what they're like. And I think then you'll bring them together better once you understand that.
So you're in that phase at the moment with Waterford.
Yeah, like you're trying to figure out. We were away last week in training camp and I figured them out a bit better.
Right. Where was that?
We were out in Portugal for the week. Yeah.
Whereabouts in Portugal?
So we were Tavira. We weren't far away. It was about 10 minutes away from that place called Colina Verde. It's out and it's on in the middle of no place. But you know what? We had a great 4 days. And you're going away for the 4 days. Everyone says, they're going away and they're going to train like mad and do whatever. The lads are after working hard for 4 months, probably 3 or 4 or 5 days a week, flat to the mat. Weather hasn't been great. Yeah. And then these few days to look at everything. The sun is there and we're getting refocused for the championship ahead.
As a manager, I would imagine there are increasingly bigger challenges. Because I'd say 20 years ago, a guy playing GAA in Clare or Kildare or in Galway were 100 miles away from, say, cocaine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the case anymore.
No, it's widespread out there, you know. And I honestly believe the GAA have such a massive effect in the communities around country. To me, the GAA, and they are starting to offer way more than just games. They're starting to offer advice. And young Connor, who was in season one with us, right? I know you've come across.
We interviewed him, yeah.
I love listening to Connor because it's real. He's been in that whole...
Addicted to cocaine, yeah.
And he knows what it's about. And like I certainly, I'm going to line him up to bring him down to the lads to talk to him at some stage. And I would advise numerous schools, the likes of Connor is unbelievable to talk to. And I think the GAA can create such, we're in every community in the country. Like we have the platform to be able to help out even more than we do. And in fairness to the GAA, they're trying to, but I think we can even get that message more out there if we can.
As in a sort of a power for good against against drugs, that sort of thing.
An awareness, right?
An awareness, right.
Of
okay.
The goods and bads. And like, I just think we have that platform that we train, you go to the field 3 or 4 days a week. And why not have one day a month where it's educational, it's completely different to being on the field.
And another sort of scourge of an addiction is gambling.
It affects a lot of families.
Because I've spoken to a number of GAA players about it, and their explanation of why it took hold was that they got this amazing hit, you know, playing for their county in Croke Park, and they found it difficult to match that. And that sort of gambling sort of gave them the same dopamine hit, if you like.
Yeah, I can see it. Like, and it is even a big problem when you are playing even GAA at a high level and you go to nothing, it's gone, it's completely gone. You're probably looking to substitute it with something else. And like, and there, I've come across it with a lot of people close to me even who have got caught up in it badly, and it's so hard to get out of it because there is a buzz when you win and then you're trying to make up when you don't. And I know from people close to me it is very hard to overturn that.
Yeah.
Like any addiction, it takes serious work to overturn it.
Do you think the GAA are doing enough to sort of like after sales service, if you like, to take care of people who've been playing at the top level and now aren't, you know, retired GAA players?
I think they're looking at it more now, Ray, than they were, being honest about it. I think we can do more even. I don't know if the GAA realise how much they can help even more than they do
but
in the community.
They must realise how big a part they are in people's lives when they're playing it.
They do.
Yeah.
They do, I think. But can it be better? I suppose it's like other things in life. Of course it can be better. And I think the GAA can even go that extra step more to realise that what happens after you finish playing, or be it with the drug abuse or the gambling. Like, we can do more.
Yeah.
And I really believe that.
Mm. You're not hanging up your management boots anytime soon.
You don't know what's ahead.
Although your love for Dahi Og, he's a magnet there. He's a pull home.
Yeah, it's it's definitely different, so it is. Like, I love the GAA. Like, obviously, there's one or two parts we all come across in life. The social media platforms will body at times that they're allowed to just do what they want to do and there's no answer to them. You try and block them out. But the other parts of the GAA where you're learning new stuff and you're trying to evolve the game even more, that excites me the whole time and I love it. And to see, can you make a difference to people's lives? That's important.
Yeah. How's your health?
Health is okay at the moment. Yeah. Would I like to be another stone down to what I am? I would. Like, I suppose this thing that bothers me is weight fluctuates up and down with me, and I prefer I could keep it consistent. Probably like to get a stone off, but sure, there's a lot of people out there the same.
We're going to be doing a bit of Tai Chi on the radio if you want to stick around.
Yeah, that might do me a bit of good, you know.
Meditative movement.
Yeah.
It's relax you. Yeah. Do you find you're less, you know, like you're less agitated, less excitable on the sideline than you used to be? Does it come with age?
I believe so, right? Others mightn't agree. We'll still let go
every
now and
again. I've seen you in Ireland's fittest family.
It is, but I think a lot of people, even the teams, if you talk to them now, I think they would say 99% of the time I'd be pretty okay, and then that 1% is pretty mental.
Okay. Davy's toughest team, second series starts tonight, 9:35 on RT1. It's on the RT player as well. Good to see you, Davy.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks,
mind yourself.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.